Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Time now for Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Mike.
And welcome in, everybody. It is Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel. Clouds are moving out, Michael. It's going to be a pretty sunny day today. A little cool, but fall is here.
Glad to have you back. The Issel Travel Agency is now out of business, right?
I'll tell you what, I'm glad to be anywhere besides behind that windshield. You know, not 9 hours when I first looked it up and I said, and I saw it was only 9 hours to D.C., I thought, well, that's not bad. But that 9 hours got real long on the way home yesterday.
When I was on active duty with the Army, my second stop, first stop, Fort Campbell, second stop, Fort Belvoir, which is right there outside of D.C. in Virginia.
Right. That's okay. Where I was.
Were you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I was stationed at Fort Belvoir. So I had my car. They let me have my car at that point in time. So I would every second.
Now, this
or third
was active duty for the reserves. Right.
Right.
So
right.
How many years did you have to do
six.
That?
Six years.
And how long each year were you on active duty?
Well, once you went through your basic training, you were on, you had 2 weeks in the summer, 1 weekend a month.
Okay.
Louis did it. Tommy Kron.
Yeah.
Larry Connolly. Well, yeah. A bunch of people we know did it. And I'm sure.
Well, that's not bad. Two weeks in the summer and every other weekend. Where did you go every other weekend? Well, Fort Knox?
Let me tell you, I got a good story about where I went. So right. I would take that drive you took from Fort Belvoir across all the way to Louisville. I'd leave as soon as we were off work on Friday and drive home. And then I would go back on Sunday night, drive all the way back and get to the fort at about 4 or 5 o'clock, take a little nap and go back out. And I napped in my car and went back out and worked. But that was for 12, 14 weeks. That was after our rookie year and the start of the second year.
Okay.
You guys had actually already practiced when I showed back up.
Mm.
Had to introduce myself to Joe Mullaney. He goes, who are you? But anyway, when I went to Charlotte, I transferred to a Air National Guard unit. Okay. It was about 40 minutes outside of Charlotte in Baden, North Carolina. And it might be 45. I don't know, give or take a few. But there was a professor, a doctor on campus that was a general in the Air Force National Guard. He came to me and said, hey, I heard you are looking for a unit to finish your commitment. I said, I sure am. He said, come on. So he took me over to his office and got me in and all this stuff. And so here's the kicker. Here's my job. And I got to take off. When we had games, I could take off, but I had to come back and make them up. Okay. And in the summer for 2 weeks, they let me do a week and come back and do a week at another time because of recruiting.
So you didn't even have to do two consecutive weeks.
No. And I got to drive from home up there every day. I didn't have to sleep in a tent, which I did, which we all did early in our Army careers. So my job was to, you know, they went to Myrtle Beach, North Myrtle Beach, South Myrtle Beach, I can't remember, for summer camp. Because there was a big Air Force base presence there. So my job was to make signs for everybody. I know you're laughing. I made signs. I mean, I cut the cardboard.
Yeah.
Or if it was wood, I got somebody to cut it for me. So then I drew whatever I wanted on there. That was my job. This way, arrow. You know, this is food. This is where we eat. That type of stuff. All those signs you see when you go to events you know, when you go to the fair or something, they have makeshift signs.
Sure.
These were on stakes. So we loaded them in the helicopter, and I flew in the helicopter to I think it was South Myrtle Beach, maybe. And we got down, another soldier and I, or airman, we put the signs up. I flew back. That was it.
That was your job.
That was it. And I did that for like 3 years, you know.
Man, I thought your best job ever was with Daniel Boone Fried Chicken when we were about to be seniors at UK, but you had even a cushier one than that.
Didn't pay as good as Daniel Boone.
No.
As good as Daniel Boone.
Oh. I'll never forget that. We went in and met with that guy. The guy's name was Dan Stafford, and he was president of Daniel Boone Fried Chicken. And I had worked the previous summer with Carrie and Adams road construction.
Did you work or just show up?
No, I worked.
Okay.
In fact, I was a grade checker for a while, and one day a guy didn't show up that drove one of those big earth movers. And, of course, I grew up on a farm. I could drive anything. So the guy said, anybody here know how to drive this thing? I said, yeah. So he took me. We made a couple of passes, and I was digging up dirt where the roads were supposed to go. And I was and driving one of those. Now, if we had rain, we didn't work. But if we didn't have rain, we worked 60 hours a week.
I remember a lot of guys worked out there.
We worked 10 hours a day, 6 days a week. And we made a lot of money, but we worked hard. So we go in, and you and I go in and have that meeting with Dan.
Was Joe with us?
I can't remember. Okay. I can't remember if he was with us or if he was the one who set it up.
He's the one that set it up.
You're talking about Coach Hall.
Yep.
Yeah. And so, you know, I'm married, or getting married that summer, and I needed to make some money. And so I thought I was going back to Carrie and Adams and drive an earth mover. And so Stafford, I said, you know, I've got a pretty good job. And he said, well, what did you make? And I said, you know, whatever it was, $200 a week. And so he called his secretary in. And he said, figure out the withholding on $200 a week. And so she left and came back, and she said, like, well, his check would be $164. No. I meant, how much did we have to pay him so he would clear?
$255.55, I remember. And we netted $200.
We cleared $200 a week and did absolutely nothing but drive to Versailles every morning and pick up Governor Chandler and drive him back. And I thought, I said, done. We made $200. We cleared $200 a week, which, you know, back in
20 years old.
Yeah. And in 1968, 69. That was an awful lot of money.
Oh, man. I mean, I thought I died and went to heaven. We had like 14 weeks of that.
I can't believe you remember what our weekly pay was.
Oh, yeah. Because $255.55. Isn't it funny what you remember? Yeah. Well, I had a job after my freshman year in Dayton. There was a company called Poston, and they were a subcontractor to Dayton Power and Light. So a guy that for Dayton Power and Light that oversaw this area was a big UK guy. So Joe got me a job working on Poston.
So this was after your freshman year when you went
No,
back.
Actually, Dan, it was after my senior year in high school.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I forgot. And so Joe got the job, got hooked up, big UK guy, and he was the boss man. I mean, he went around, he was over two or three of these companies. So I'm out there now, first week, with a bunch of guys that called me college boy, and you know, they didn't give a flying flip about who you were, but they had, none of them had gone to college, but they were working Jesse's. So we get to this spot my second week, and I'll never forget. They're digging a hole, because what they did, they followed up Dayton Power and Light and fixed everything that Dayton Power and Light tore up in specific jobs, like tore the highway up, tore walkways up. We had to fix all that.
Replace them, yeah.
And I learned to do cement later on, but this is a great story. So the boss guy of this crew said, hey, college boy, get down there. We need somebody to shovel dirt out. They're digging this hole. So I jumped in there. I'm shoveling. All of a sudden, this fellow's name is Lloyd Logsdon. I'll never forget it. Nicest guy in the world. He stops by. Now, he's The boss.
And this is the guy that's hired you that's the big UK.
Correct.
Big UK.
So I'm in the ditch.
Digging.
In the middle of the ditch. You can't even see my head when he comes up. And he comes up to the hole. I hear him asking the leader where I was. And he said, there. So Lloyd looked in. He said, let me tell you something to the boss man. He said, if I ever come by and see this boy in a hole digging with a shovel, you're all fired. And they go, they didn't know where I came from. I was just dropped into job.
You were college.
But they knew then.
College boy. Get him out of that hole.
And then the union guys would come around, and they would hide me. They would tell me ahead of time, union guy's coming. Get over here. Just stay out of the way. So I'd hide myself, to stay away from the union guy. Then when he left, I'd come back out. So they got to looking after me. And I learned to do cement. That was fun. That was fun.
Did you go home after your freshman year, or did you stay in Lexington?
No, I went home until we went to work for Daniel Boone Fried Chicken. We're eating fried chicken.
Yeah. No. Well, I had a tough summer job. I worked for my father, and he was a painting contractor. But I never got to hold a brush or a roller. I was the sanding guy, the putty guy, the tape guy.
Tough.
Oh, I had all the nasty jobs. He never let me hold a paintbrush. And so I did that. I did that the summer before I went to UK, and I went home and did that the summer after our freshman year. But then that was the end of my painting career. I stayed in Lexington after that.
So Sherry now is the artist, not you.
That's right. And she doesn't paint with rollers or brushes that big. Her brushes are a lot smaller than that.
You talk about money and jobs. How about Mattress Mack showing up again?
Is he unbelievable?
He's got $38.9 million on the line process for the Strohs.
Yeah.
Not the Astros process. Strohs. And that's their nickname in Houston.
And you
Strohs.
Know, he's a huge Astros fan.
I
see him walking around the sales, the horse sales at Keeneland. You know, he's big into horses. Run Happy was his. And he promotes that horse like no other horse that's ever been promoted. I mean, you go on TVG and every track's got a Run Happy race or a Run Happy sign. And so he is a promoter. But, you know, it's all now if he cashes on that, I'm sure there's some profit in that deal. But most of his bets are to cover, you know, what he's sold in the because he runs these promotions. He's big. He's big into what do you call the mattresses?
Therapeutic
mattresses. Now, those mattresses are like $3,000 a piece, maybe even more. And he runs promotions and says, you buy a mattress, and if Houston wins the World Series, you get the mattress for nothing. And so he makes these bets like he did on the Kentucky Derby to cover the promotions that he's run at his furniture gallery stores. But they've got a horse fan. His sister-in-law, Laura Wallers, trains his horses, and they're down at the Thoroughbred Center in Lexington. And they have a van, a horse van that they take, and it's covered. It's the gallery furniture horse van. It's got huge. On one side it says Run Happy, and on the other side it says gallery furniture. He is a promoting son of a gun, I'll tell you that.
Are you familiar with him, Process? I guess not. He's not he's not listening.
He's not responding. Yeah.
Well, how much would you have to bet? How much would you have to bet to be able to win $38.9 million? And that's all they said, what I read. That's the end game for him.
Right.
How much would he have to bet?
But it depends on what the odds were, and I'm sure he didn't bet it all at one time. He just he kind of did it with different people. But you know what? He's a smart guy. Because there were a lot of these, when he made it known that he had to bet, what was it, like $2.5 million on the favorite in the Derby, there were a lot of these betting outlets that came to him and said, you know, hey, you know, bet with us. And he said, no. He said, because the horsemen don't get as much, a bigger percentage with these off-track betting places as they do at Churchill. So he brought $2.5 million in cash to Churchill Downs because that was the place he could make a bet. And it didn't make any difference to him because the payoff was going to be the same. But that was where he could make the bet that the horseman would benefit the most. So, you know, I've had an opportunity. I've told you this before. He's a very close friend of John Lucas's. And when we were coaching, when I was the head coach at the Nuggets, and John Lucas was one of my assistants, he owns a tennis club in Houston, a really nice place, huge place, got a gymnasium, and we'd go out there and practice. And I met him, and he took me out to Sam Houston Downs and showed me his horses out there. So I got to know him a little bit. He's an interesting guy. But if Houston wins three, what did you say, 36 million?
38.9 process.
So a little bit of money.
And he did say he was going to give all the free mattresses. The people bought mattresses. They get free. And then he was going to donate some of it to maybe it was the Run Happy Foundation, whatever.
He's a big charity guy. You know, when Houston has had those hurricanes that have hit Houston, he opens his furniture stores and lets people come that, you know, have been washed out of their homes or homeless people. He lets them come in and into the furniture stores and sleep on the furniture in his furniture store. So he's really a neat guy.
Well, they asked him in this interview I was listening to, if he was having problems with the supply chain. And he said, we have a bunch of mattresses already in stock. He said, yeah, it's slow to reload. He said, our furniture, majority of it, is made in America.
Yeah.
So we don't have a problem on that side because he does sell some, I guess, bedroom furniture.
Oh, he sells all kinds of furniture.
Does he?
But I think he either owns Therapeutic Mattresses, which was started, by the way, in Lexington.
Yep.
He either owns it or owns a piece of the company. And so that's what these promotions are about. And, you know, you don't have to sell too many mattresses at $3,000 a piece for that to add up pretty quick.
No, and if you bought one, you're pulling like hell. The Houston Astros.
Exactly.
I mean, that's a $3,000 swing in right. your favor. Yeah, yeah. Hey, I found something. Now that we're talking about people that do good things and give to charity and do good things for others, there was a lady by the name of Sarah Blakely. She's the founder of Spanx, S-P-A-N-X.
Spanx.
Spanx. That's what your girlfriend does to you, Spanx. You.
You're damn right. Mark that.
Where did that come from?
Oh, Lordy.
Damn you.
Have you been drinking this morning? Oh, my goodness. Oh,
she's got a company. Oh, Lordy. A company of 500 employees.
I throw you a life raft and you screw me. You let me drown.
See, I missed you yesterday. I couldn't do this with process. I couldn't do it. I had to save it for you. Well, here's the story. This lady started the company in her garage. She's got 500 employees.
In her garage? That must be a heck of a garage.
No,
she got 500 people in there.
She started it in her garage, man. Now she has 500 employees and sold it to a big company and got a gazillion dollars. Every employee process, 2 first-class tickets anywhere they want to go in the world, and also gave each one of the employees $10,000. Now that's working for somebody that is really cool.
Yeah.
Sarah Blakely. Cool.
Sarah. And congratulations.
Spanx.
And what's the name? What's the name of her company?
That's what they're called. I didn't make the rules.
What are those the things that you wear to make you look skinnier?
Yeah.
Is that what they are?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Well, anyway, moving right along.
Please. Now,
the other thing.
Please.
By the way, minority owner of the Atlanta Hawks. There you go.
Is she? Really?
Yep.
Wow. Cool. The other thing is the Seattle hockey team, which is called the, what is it called?
The Krakens.
And what
no,
is
no, no, no S, just Kraken.
What is a Kraken?
It's a fish, isn't it?
It's like a sea monster. Like
oh, really?
A, like a, yeah, it's like one of those, like the Loch Ness monster. It's kind of like that.
Okay. Okay. Mm. Well, do you know who one of the part owners is?
Who?
Jerry Bruckheimer.
Yeah,
I knew producer.
That. Yeah, I knew that.
You got to speak up.
He has a, well, I couldn't remember his name. I knew who you were going to talk about, but he has a Kentucky presence, too.
He, does he?
Yeah, he has a home here, or spends some time here.
You know what? I think he's down in central,
yeah,
central Kentucky, yeah, Danville,
yeah,
that
around
area.
There. Yeah, yeah. Friend of Pat Riley's, close yeah. friend of Pat's yeah. From Pat's L.A. days.
Well, and now that we got through all the trivia, one thing that's not trivia, process, 2 weeks from today, college basketball opens up. Maybe the second longest of baseball or basketball, but the long grind to the Final Four begins 2 weeks from today. And I'm excited. I think it's going to be a terrific year as far as excitement. And here's one of the reasons why. That I think it's going to be an exciting year. You've got so many guys taking advantage of the fifth year. In a couple cases, it's the sixth year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because of COVID. So you got a lot of people coming back with experience. Like Kentucky or Louisville, they got guys out of the portal with a lot of experience. And I think given summer and fall and the experience factor, it could be a wild Final Four or NCAA tournament. It could be wild.
Yeah, no, it'll be fun. I'm just hoping that it looks like this pandemic thing is going in the right direction. I saw a headline in the Herald Leader this morning that Kentucky, for I think 11 straight weeks, has had a decline in the number of COVID cases, and it doesn't look like football, with all the large gatherings,
yeah.
have impacted COVID at all. I just hope. You know, when winter gets here and everybody's in a closed-in arena, I hope that it doesn't accelerate again and cause games to be canceled. But it's fun to have everybody back in the arenas now.
The other night in the blue-white game, there were quite a few people without mask and people with. Mm-hmm. Everybody on press row had to have a mask on, except if you're broadcasting, you can take it off while you broadcast. Which we kept them on last year. So it's going to be an interesting year.
Yeah,
very interesting.
If I was unvaccinated, I think I'd for sure wear a mask to go to an indoor event. The problem is if you don't know, even if you're vaccinated, if the guy next to you doesn't have a mask on, you know, you don't know if he's vaccinated or not. So but hopefully it's on the decline and it won't spike again.
Yeah, and it's interesting that football has had a lot of success in not having it, for lack of better terminology. 100,000 here, 100,000 there, 62 at UK, whatever the number is, a
right.
ton of people. And there's really been no major outbreak, at least that has been reported.
Yeah, and when I went to the LSU game, we were in one of the suites.
Did you wear a mask?
They made us wear a mask from the time we entered Kroger Field until we got to the box. But when we got to the box, nobody had a mask on in the box, so I took it off.
I have an invitation to visit a box at the Tennessee game, and I'm a little concerned. You know, I don't know who's going to be there. I don't know whose box it is right now. It was kind of from Coach Emery, and
Well, it might be the same place I was.
Might be.
If it is, you need to go because that is a spectacular place to watch a football game from. And the people that were in the box when Sherry and I were there were just terrific people. So if it's in the same spot I was, you need to go.
Close quarters concerns me, okay, because you don't know if everybody else has been vaccinated.
Right.
I've had three shots, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. You're going to run into situations like that many times. So you either have your mask on or you take a flyer and not wear your mask.
Well, you ask Coach Emery if it's the same box.
I will.
And then if that's the case, I don't think you should go and tell him to offer me the tickets.
You got it. You're on. You're on.
Hey, Vision, everybody has one, that epic cross-country road trip that I took yesterday, your dream wedding, that kitchen renovation for churning out next-level entrees, and the folks at Stockton Mortgage can help you achieve your vision. If you're a homeowner, then you may have heard that home values are on the rise in most areas. Take advantage of historical low rates to refinance your home mortgage to get cash out and finance your dreams. Give the folks at Stockton Mortgage a call today or get started online by going to stockton.com. NMLS 8259, NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Equal housing lender.
I know you want to leave me, but I refuse to let you go. If I have to leave.
This segment of Stockton Mortgage's Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt is presented by KentuckyTourism.com.
Sweet darling.
Go ahead.
No, that's all I got.
That's good stuff. The Temptations. In process, I saw the Krispy Kremes back there. Were you tempted to have one?
No, Drew brought me breakfast, so I ate that instead.
Brought you breakfast?
Yeah.
What'd you have for breakfast?
The place in the remote he was on.
I'll be daggone. Was it good?
It's amazing.
Well, what was it? Tell
biscuit,
us.
Biscuit Belly. It was some of the best food I ever had.
Biscuit?
Biscuit Belly.
You know what that is?
No. You're going to have to eat it. It's really good. So, yeah, whenever you need breakfast in the morning.
Where is it?
There's one in Nulu, and they were at one in the South End. So, yeah, I'd look it up.
Okay.
Well, yesterday, Dan, before we get into my read, we had, I think it was Dunkin' Donuts yesterday, process. Today it's Krispy Kreme. I mean, they're just out there, and they're not as people aren't around here as excited about that as they are our pizza on Wednesday. Barino's pizza on Wednesday.
Last night was my
Friday. Excuse me.
Last night was my birthday dinner, and Sherry quit cooking. I think around 1996, maybe, when it was when Scott went away to college. That was the last time Sherry cooked. So
that'll make the extra tape.
So she said, "Do you want to go out?" Well, going out after spending 9 hours in the car yesterday with a 2-hour break for this show, going out was the last thing I wanted to do. So she said, "Okay, well, let's order in, and you pick whatever you want for your birthday dinner." You know what I had?
Pizza.
Bear Nose pizza.
There you go.
I love it. Love it.
What, mushrooms?
No. Sausage. No mushrooms? Sausage, pepperoni, banana peppers.
Oh, I like banana.
And, of course, a drizzle of mustard. That was my birthday dinner. Loved it.
Well, if you don't have a birthday like Dan Issel and you don't have that kind of food for your birthday dinner, when you're ready to explore the outdoors, there's no better place than the Bluegrass State. Hike forest trails, paddle through clear waters, enjoy a horseback ride, or simply soak up the sights and sounds of nature. Looking for more thrills? Hop on a mountain bike, race through rapids, venture underground, or zip through the treetops. This is Kentucky. Come see for yourself. Plan your getaway today at KentuckyTourism.com. Beautiful fall week we anticipate and a nice weekend. So let's do it.
Get out there and enjoy it. Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Do you have our picks process?
I don't know if I want to go over the picks.
We're going to do a little college football here.
I don't think I had a very good week.
Pen. There we go.
All right, so
the first one was Louisville.
Louisville and Boston College, and U of L covered, so you both picked U of L, and you both got that one.
Okay. There you go.
So that's one in the tank there. We pulled up the rest of the results here.
Well, the next one I've got on the list was Wake Forest and Army.
And so, Mike, you picked the under, which is, I mean, Jesus.
Was that crazy? 70 by themselves beat the under, didn't it?
Yeah, the under was 65.
Yeah. And Wake had 70. 70,
yeah.
Didn't
they? Yeah. Yeah, so you, no.
Just
note of that.
That much. And I picked Wake Forest.
You picked Wake, so you won that one.
Well, he's okay. Listening to me. You know I'm a fan of Wake Forest.
Next one I've got is Memphis and UCF.
Yeah, and so you both took Memphis, and you both at, what was it, Memphis at
minus two.
Minus two, so that's a loss for both of you guys. Next up.
Did Central Florida win that game?
Yeah, 24-7.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Oklahoma State and Iowa State.
Oklahoma State and Iowa State. You both had Oklahoma State, and Iowa State ended up winning, and it was Oklahoma State at plus +7. So no dice on that
so
one.
So we won.
Oh, wait, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. Won. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Trying to cheat us.
I am trying to cheat you. That's exactly what I'm trying to do. All right. And then next up we have
Clemson and Pitt.
Clemson and Pitt. So you both, or sorry, Dan, you took Clemson at plus +3, and Mike, you took Pitt, and Pitt won that one. So, Mike, there you go. Next up is UCLA, and the Bruins fell, and the line was 1.5 in favor of UCLA, and the Bruins fell to Oregon. Dan, you took UCLA. Mike, you took Oregon. So that's another win for Mike.
Yep.
All right. Next up, we have the team in shambles, and my main man.
What was I thinking? Jeez.
That's something you got to be asking yourself for a lot of these picks this week, Dan. I'm sorry to say. All right. So next up is LSU at Ole Miss. Ole Miss was minus -9.5. Dan, you took LSU. What are you doing?
I thought they were going to – I thought they rallied. As you look back on this, and we were really excited that Kentucky beat Florida and then beat LSU, I'm not so sure either one of them are any good. I thought they rallied to win that game at home against Florida. I thought Florida was pretty good. I thought 9.5 was a big number, but they went right back in the – in the dumpster.
They did. Their defense was a sieve.
Did Mike pick Ole Miss?
Mike picked the under, which was
58.
You had 58? I had 47.
Oh, okay. All right.
Or no, I'm sorry, you're right.
58.
No. The under was... You got the under. Regardless, you got the under.
Okay.
All right, another W for the kid.
Yeah, another W for the kid.
All right.
Okay. Next up is Notre Dame at USC. Notre Dame was minus -7, and they won 31-16.
So we both won that one?
Well, just making sure I got my math correct here. Yeah, no, you both won that one because Dan, you took the under, and Mike, you took Notre Dame. Then we have...
That was the 58, right? That was the 58 under, I was like.
Okay. All right, then we have Purdue versus Wisconsin. Wisconsin was minus -3. You both took Purdue, and that didn't go well for either of you.
That both we
that one hurt.
All right,
Let me pull up the NFL scoreboard here. Talk.
The
first one was Cincinnati at the Ravens. Yeah. Ravens were favored by 6.5.
Yeah, so, Mike, you took Baltimore.
Ooh!
That's a big loss.
Ooh!
Dan, you took the Bengals, and they obviously won.
Yep.
Next up is the Chiefs and the Titans.
Tennessee, yep.
And the Tennessee won that one going away. So, and Dan, you took KC. Mike, you took Tennessee. So you get that one back. And then we have
Indy and San Fran.
Yeah. You both took San Francisco at minus four. So that's a loss for both of you guys.
The last one was Detroit and the Rams, right. -15.5.
And we're doing math correctly here. You both took LA and you both
lost.
Detroit covered. I can't believe that.
That was an ugly game, too.
They so could have. They had a shot. They had a shot to win. They were marching in late in the game for a touchdown, and Goff throws an interception. So you don't have to add them up. That was an ugly week. I know
it was an ugly week, but
Mike won.
Mike did win. Yeah,
yeah. Mike won easily.
A lot more checks on this side than this side.
Well, how about that?
Hey, I have a. I'm not sure if this is a tidbit or a nugget, but you know, if the playoffs started today. Which they don't, so this is all theoretical.
NFL.
NFL playoffs started today. The number one seed in the NFC would be Arizona, right? They're undefeated. Do you know who would be the number one seed in the AFC if the playoffs started today?
Well, I would think it would be Buffalo, but the way you're presenting this, I'm sure it's not. Would it be the Tennessee Titans? No, it might be the Bengals, your boys.
What do you think, Bobby?
Yeah, I feel like the way you're setting it up is going to be the Bengals, right?
Yeah. Gosh darn it. I should have done a better job because that would have been your last guess.
Yeah.
If the playoffs started today, the Bengals would be the number one seed.
How about
in
that?
The AFC.
The Bengals are rallying. Now, you still got to play my boys twice, and if they get healthy, it could be tough, the pumpkin heads. But If they're not healthy, this might be a two-game-year sweep for the Bengals.
I heard that Mayfield, in addition to the separation, has a fracture. Have you heard anything about how long he's going to be out?
No, I didn't, but I understand the fracture came as he was pouring the cheese over the chips for the kids trick-or-treating.
Man, you're on fire today. Man,
that's the best commercial, isn't it?
Hot. It's great. Man. I saw it again last night.
Yeah.
Process, your Eagles traded Joe Flacco because what's the kid's name with the Jets?
Zach Wilson.
Yeah, he's going to be out two to 4 weeks. So what did they get for Flacco?
They got a sixth and a conditional fifth, so depending on how Flacco does, which is probably poorly. But look, hey, this is how this went. They called the Eagles. They said, can we have Flacco? And the Eagles looked around. They're like, they want Flacco? All right.
Now, there's a guy who was, I mean, he was one of the best when he was, I guess maybe they relied on the defense and he didn't have to do too much.
Yeah, he was a lot like a Baker Mayfield type.
So he was serviceable.
He was good.
Not a great
quarterback. Called a game manager.
Yeah. His nickname was Average Joe Flacco, if that helps.
Oh, man, that's cold.
But he's been less than average ever since he left Baltimore. I know he was with the Broncos for a while. What other stops has he made?
So he was with the Broncos, he was with the Eagles, and I feel like he was with somebody. Actually, it might just be those three teams.
Okay. All right. And now he's a Jet. Once you're a
Jet. J-E-T-S.
You're a Jet all the way. Yeah. From your first cigarette to your last dying day.
Okay, the text line is lighting up.
I hate that movie.
You don't like it? West Side Story?
No, I hate that movie.
Oh, that's a good show.
They're dancing and stabbing each other. It looks so stupid.
Well, when you go to New York, you can see that all the time. What the heck? Chicago? You know, they were ahead of their time.
Now, have you ever seen the play?
No, I've just seen the movie.
Well, the play is a lot better than the movie. So if you ever see if it ever hits Broadway again, you've got to sign up.
By the way, Joe Flacco also played for the Jets last year. I forgot to mention that.
Okay, all right.
They must have liked him.
So the text line is heating up over your spanking.
No, they still want to know about your pizza. What kind of mustard? Does
yellow,
Dan put,
yellow mustard.
You don't
yellow,
like that
no,
spicy
no,
stuff?
No, no,
oh,
no,
I like
no,
that
no.
Spicy.
Yellow, right. Plain old French's yellow mustard.
Ooh. All right, another texter wants to know if you saw anything unusual on your trip back home.
Well, I mentioned it yesterday. I thought it was kind of unusual. I stopped, couple of things. One was not unusual. One was neat. I stopped someplace in West Virginia for gas, and it had a live bait sign. So they had crickets. They had crickets and worms.
And minnows, minnies?
I don't think they had. I didn't see any minnows, but they had crickets and worms, which you don't see in a lot of convenience stores. Saw a lot of poor little deer laying alongside the road. The place that I got off that had the bait was in White Sulphur Springs. And so I was getting low on gas, so I pulled off there and filled up and looked at the crickets and the worms. And then they didn't have at the same exit, you couldn't get back on 64 going west. You had to drive through White Sulphur Springs. And then I see a bus, and it says Greenbrier. Well, I've heard a lot about Greenbrier.
Beautiful
have,
place.
Have a
Beautiful
lot of
place.
People. My dear friend Brary Jones, who was one time governor of Kentucky, he and Libby used to vacation there all the time. Sherm Henderson, a good friend of ours, actually had a catastrophic heart attack in the lobby of the Greenbrier Hotel. They didn't think he was going to make it for a while. But I got to see Greenbrier for the very first time. What a beautiful place that is.
It is spectacular.
Yeah,
I've been there numerous times over the years.
That's the first time I've heard about it for years, first time I've ever seen it. So that was the best part of the whole trip coming back.
There you go, Texter. There you go. Now, we want to take the last minutes of this half hour and talk about our top 10 plus two. I like the plus two because you got some guys outside looking in that are pretty good teams.
And I know who you're going to say plus two is, the Demon Deacons.
All right, who you got in your top?
Well, you know who's number one. I mean,
yeah.
I think they could give two or three NFL teams. You know, and usually you hear that, you say, oh, that's baloney. These guys are pros, and you know they're not going. A college team couldn't beat them. But I'm going to tell you what, Georgia has pros at just about every position. I wouldn't be surprised if they couldn't give two or three NFL teams a run for their money. You want me to go all the way down?
Absolutely.
Through mine? Cincinnati's number two, Alabama three, Oklahoma four. Although Oklahoma, I still don't get Oklahoma. I don't know what they're doing. I don't think they're that good. Ohio State, then comes a bunch of Big Ten teams who still have to play each other. Ohio State 5, Michigan 6, Michigan State 7, Oregon number 8. At number 9, I have Ole Miss. At 10, I have Kentucky. And then the next two plus two, I have Iowa at 11 and Notre Dame at 12.
Boy, I've forgotten about Iowa. That's an interesting pick. Very interesting.
Well, they've only lost one game.
Well, I know, but once they got beat, I mean, all the conversation was Iowa, Iowa, Iowa.
Yeah.
And they get beat, now nobody's talking about it.
And the reason that I have Kentucky ahead of Notre Dame and Iowa, and I probably ought to have them ahead of Ole Miss and Oregon, is that none of those teams could give Georgia a run for their money.
I would agree.
And so, you know, Kentucky, in my mind, if Kentucky, of course, they're only favored by a point Saturday. This Mississippi State game is huge for their future. I mean, if they win this game, I think they've got a shot to finish, you know, 6th, 7th, 8th in the country and go to the Sugar Bowl.
And that would be huge. I mean, really big.
Because I think Alabama will get beat by Georgia in the SEC championship game. And Ole Miss still has – they've got a tough schedule.
Yes, they do.
They've got to go to Auburn. They've got to go to Mississippi State. And I think the team that will definitely beat them, who after a horrendous start really has seemed to find their legs, is Texas A&M. Now, that game is at Oxford. But still, I don't know if Ole Miss can beat Texas A&M.
Well, I'll take Ole Miss that day, and we'll have a bet for a beer.
Okay.
The Egg Bowl, Mississippi State and Ole Miss could be, assuming both teams have some W's along the way, that's the last game Thanksgiving I'm not so sure if it's Thanksgiving Day or the Friday afterwards. The Egg Bowl is a big game.
How in the world did it get that name?
I have no idea. Hmm. None. So my picks, I've had Georgia at the top all year.
Yep.
I'm going to follow up with Alabama.
And you've got Alabama too?
I think Alabama's making strides, particularly defensively. And the quarterback is terrific.
You're absolutely right about that last part. They had a lot of strides to make defensively. I'm still not convinced they're a great defensive team.
Well, I'm not saying they're great either, but they put the pedal to the metal when they needed to against Tennessee and just pulled away. Boom, it was over. They have that kind of, I think, offensive firepower. I've got the Ohio State Buckeyes, who are on fire offensively now, as my fourth team. I've got Michigan, the Wolverines at 5.
What happened to the Bearcats?
They're 3. I'm sorry, they're 3.
Yeah, I thought did you skip 3? You might
have. Yeah, they're 3. Bearcats are 3. Yeah. And they could be 2. You know, we've been bullish.
Okay, Alabama, you got Alabama 2 and Cincinnati 3.
Ohio State 4.
Okay, all right, that makes more sense.
Fighting Jim Harbaughs of Michigan 5.
Okay.
I've got Oregon 6. And I know they had a big win in Columbus, but, you know, they've struggled. But what's the kid's name, the defensive end?
Thibodeau.
He's back now, and – you know, that was a nice win at UCLA. That was a nice win on the road. At this time of year, any win on the road is nice.
Yeah.
And forget about the spread.
And they've got CU coming in to play this weekend. And I think Oregon's a 24-point favorite. And it might as well be 50 because CU is terrible.
So we'll definitely take Oregon on Friday.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. There's your tip of the week.
There you go.
Take Oregon, give the points.
24?
Yep.
They'll win by 40.
That's the Dan Issel special process.
All right.
That's a double hammer lock.
By the way, I found out why it's called the Egg Bowl.
Yeah, great. What is it?
All right, so there was a big fight in the 20s, and they were like, all right, we got to make a trophy. So they made a trophy, and it resembled a rugby ball, which looks like an egg. So they decided to just nickname it the Egg, and it looks like an egg now. So that's... it's what it used to be. That's why it's the Egg Bowl.
Why did they have a trophy with a rugby ball?
Because the old school footballs used to look like rugby balls.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay. So it wasn't supposed to be a rugby.
No,
it was
just
supposed
looked like
to be
one.
A football.
But yeah, so there was a fight and people were breaking chairs over each other in 1925. And they were like, you know what? Trophy it up.
There you go.
Now we found out.
There you go. Thanks, process.
Now, number 7, I believe it is. Yes. I put the Pittsburgh Panthers. Boys, they look pretty sharp. Throw out that loss the first game of the year. I mean, they just dominated Clemson on both sides of the ball. So I'm going to throw them up there.
You've got Pittsburgh at 7.
Yes, I do.
Well, I tell you, you're thinking out of the box.
I am.
For sure.
I am.
Yep.
I am. 8, I have Oklahoma. I'm not impressed with Oklahoma at all. They got the quarterback now. They won.
I had them at 4. You're probably closer to where they really should be.
Michigan State at 9.
Okay.
Notre Dame moves in at 10 after winning. And you know, I'm hoping Notre Dame continues to win because of this. That helps the Cincinnati
Absolutely
Bearcats.
It does.
And I want to see the Bearcats representing the group of 6. Make the playoff. First team from the group of 6, I believe, to make the playoffs. So I'm really
pulling
for
it. And if you look at Notre Dame's schedule, I mean,
they finished the year with Stanford. I mean, you know, that was
Stanford's not any good. So they could be, what would that make them, 11-1?
11-1, yeah. Now, my bottom 2.
I know.
2 outside of the top 10.
Did you say you had Notre Dame at 10?
Yep.
So now we're talking 11 and 12.
11 and 12.
I know who one of them is, and I know who the other one better be.
I got Wake Forest.
At number 11.
11.
Yep.
And the Fighting Mark Stoops UK Wildcats at 12.
That's a good pick. That's a good pick. Because
you didn't like Wake Forest?
If Kentucky played Wake Forest this Saturday – Kentucky would be a 2-touchdown favorite. So that's really smart having Kentucky behind Wake Forest.
Somebody needs to hire you to make the spreads on these games. You pretty much decimated Colorado.
They got beat by Cal, Process 30-something to 3 at home. Cal!
You think anybody came to the game?
Nah, I doubt it. That, Denver, the Denver area is a pro area. Now, they'll go to a CU game if CU's good. But if they're not good, which they aren't, they don't show up. So, hey, when you're ready to explore the outdoors, there's no better place than home. Hike, bike, paddle, fish. I know where you can get some live bait. Or even venture deep underground. This is Kentucky. Come see for yourself. Plan your getaway today at KentuckyTourism.com.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at UPSJobsKY.com.
CardNation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.